Welcome all cutthroats and shadows to the dark and silent corners of D&D in Big D. When the enemy watches your every movement, they go unnoticed. When the odds are stacked high, they guarantee success. When you need to get the job done, but you can't get your hands dirty, they strike. They are the Ninth Cannoneers. Follow the adventures of this covert Special Forces D&D Black Ops team as they topple empires, neutralize threats, and complete deadly missions by any means necessary. In today's episode, the Ninth Cannoneers are given their next assignment in Neverwinter. Will Mervish, Frostdraft, Sai, and the amazing Orion be able to thwart the impending invasion? Stand by as their mission begins.
This is the first time I've ever seen an all-European cast for a podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All the English-speaking ones, yes, but nothing beyond that. So,
well, first things are everything.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I feel like I'm cheating slightly being British, so.
No. You count. It's all right. You're part of
it. It's okay. You're still in the EU, so it's okay.
For now.
Yeah, for now. Yeah.
For now.
Please don't let us leave.
Okay. It's all right. You can be like Norway, you know, where we obey all the EU rules, but don't actually join.
I mean, I think I would love to do that simply because it would give so many of the Brexiters a fucking aneurysm.
Yeah.
So, Coffee, you're from Norway or what?
Yes, I'm from Norway.
Cool.
Although I've lived in Scotland for 7 years.
Your accent was really confusing me because I could definitely hear some Scottish in it. And when you said Norway, I was like, oh, I must not be able to recognize a Norwegian accent.
No. My accent's all over the place. I lived in America when I was 10 years old. I spent some years in Edinburgh. I spent some years in Dundee. I live with an Irish girl, so if I talk to someone from Ireland, I go even more Irish.
I'm Northern Irish, so I'm as close to Irish as you can get while being British.
Yeah, I will maybe just accidentally sound Irish eventually, and I will apologize already for that.
I can't do it. Yeah, you should probably ask Andrea. I should ask because I have no idea. Andrea and Christian, where are both of you from then?
What?
Where are you from?
I am Italian.
Oh, okay.
And I'm from Germany.
Ah, so really all over the place.
You couldn't tell from the accent?
Well, now that I'm listening for it, yes.
He's just being polite.
Yeah. I didn't want to assume.
Okay. So first off, let's just go down the line here. Everyone introduce your characters. Andrea, you have the floor.
Hey.
Yes, go ahead and give us a description of your character.
Okay, so I'm going to play Mervish, who is a male water genasi. He is a druid, and he is very shy. He likes to be among other people, but those people are known ones. Well, it is better for him.
Nice. Next up, Miss Coffee.
Right. I am Sivira or Sai Brandywood. I am a female Lightfoot halfling, and I'm a cleric. I'm female. I have pale green eyes. I'm pretty small. I'm about 2'9", with strawberry blonde gingerish hair, slightly tanned and full of freckles.
How did you pronounce her name again?
Sivira or Sai.
Sai. Go for Sai.
Yeah, go for Sai.
And Christian, whenever you're ready, give us your character.
So I'm playing the amazing Orion, who's a rogue, extremely charismatic, and he likes to pretend to be a mage, and he has some gimmicks with him to facilitate that. But the specifics will be a surprise.
Love it.
Good.
I love it. All right, and Jordan.
I'm playing Frostrath Flintarm, or Thros for short. He studied to be an acolyte of, I wasn't sure what setting you were using, so I've just gone with generic God of Thunder and Storms. Unfortunately, he wasn't cut out to the life in the shrine due to his very short temper, and he went on to be an adventurer, where he now sails with this crew. He's a barbarian, by the way, in case you didn't get that.
Okay, and of course the DM here, we're going to be playing through a section of Call from the Deep by JVC Perry. This adventure takes everybody from levels 1 through 12, and so where everyone's beginning now is actually right after Chapter 1. So Captain Greysail was sent to an island called Gundarland, a small crew was sent to investigate this strange wreckage. Lo and behold, they returned and reported that they actually encountered some strange phenomena there, something nobody has ever seen before around this or anywhere else for that matter of the known world. But more importantly, they also discovered a map depicting Baldur's Gate, Waterdeep, and Neverwinter with black marks on each of those locations on the coast map. And so the small crew decided to go to Waterdeep because for whatever reason, that one had a huge circle around it. And just to prevent an all-out decimation, your captain, Captain Graysail, pulls the four of you to the side. And for everyone out there, y'all are known as the ninth cannoneer team. And unfortunately, for everyone's confusion, there's only 8 cannons on board the team. So Captain Graysail pulls everyone aside, and she's like, okay, listen, I have a task for the four of you. I need you to either choose Baldur's Gate or Neverwinter and find out exactly what's going on. There's an invasion going, and I need to be sure that I send my best assets there to either deter or to find whatever information you can. And anything you can do to help out the other four move along on their missions, please do so. Any information?
Of course, Captain. Now, I'm not particularly swayed either way. Where would the rest of you like to go?
Well, Neverwinter sounds really interesting to me.
I'll follow where you go.
Oh, yeah. In my case, too. Where you want to go, I will come.
Sounds like Neverwinter it is.
And after a few days travel out at sea, everyone give me a d20 roll right now. This is for navigation.
11. Oh, I thought for constitution. Oh, wow, that's a 2.
Natural 1.
Oh, no. Jesus Christ. I had a 2.
Oh, wow. I must say, I wasn't expecting 11 to be the highest.
So here's how I'm going to say it. Where the trip would have normally taken you about 5 days, no correction, 3 days, it takes you 6 days because everyone kept turning between Neverwinter and Baldur's Gate. Neverwinter, back and forth until everyone's like, okay, we're closer to Neverwinter, let's go. And so in Neverwinter, you have to report yourselves to the authorities, or at least start investigating before you report yourselves to the authorities. On board your craft, you're approaching the big open bay, and in the center of the bay is this small island. Let me see. Amazing Orion, you have traveled quite a bit.
Yes.
Being the rogue that you are, you know about this island. It's on top of this earth moat, 100 feet above Neverwinter's harbor, is a building that you recognize as the Moonstone Mask. It's a 5-story fest hall, and it is anchored in place with dozens of thick chains and accessible only by a bridge. You know about this place. It's a floating Las Vegas, essentially. Anything that happens in there stays in there. And it has different ranges of entertainment for, you know, a few coppers all the way up to the aristocratic treatment. Beyond that is also the Beast Leviathan, which, Sai, so you know about the Beast Leviathan. This is a 3-story tavern that was a recovered wreck of a pirate ship and converted into a tavern called the Leviathan. You know the big thing about this location is that it is a hotspot for local gossip, and there was this huge invasion that happened a decade ago, and they've been doing a lot of rebuilding since then, so you know that there's a lot of great commerce opportunities for you at Neverwinter. And let's see, Mervish and Frost, both of you know about Castle Never, which is just beyond the outer gates, the border, the high walls that they have around this entire city. You know, a good place to go for any kind of audience with the Lord Neverember, that's the place to go to.
Do we know what it is we're trying to investigate? Just these like black marks, or do we know anything about them?
What you do know about the black marks is that it has something to do with Sahuagin.
Ah, right.
And there might
the
be
fish people.
Yes, and there might be a connection between them and the strange creature that the first crew had an altercation with. From their description, it was humanoid, and it had the head of what appeared to be either an octopus or a squid of some kind, and it actually attached itself onto one of their heads and proceeded to lobotomize him. What you know about the victim is that he is a Yuan Ti, pure blood, and after he got lobotomized, this creature took away his Yuan Ti personality and just left a human mind behind.
Oh. Hmm. That's extremely strange.
Yes.
Question.
Yes.
Do we have this map with the black marks with us, or?
No. At that point, I would say that the captain held onto the map because wherever you weren't going, she was going to send her and her crew down that way.
All right.
Okay. Do we know, do the black marks, was it just like Neverwinter in general, or is there like specific locations in Neverwinter were marked?
Neverwinter in general. There was no specific place.
Okay.
And so everyone now is pulling into the harbor, and everyone has is hanging out in the docks, Neverwinter docks. There is a harbor master approaching everybody. Lenges, hello there. I am responsible for tax collecting and trade in the city, so I need you to pay up if you're going to be docking your ship here with us.
Well, we are exempt from the taxation.
Do you have any parchments?
No, unfortunately, we lost it at sea, but we are officially working for the authorities. If you check with your superior, I'm sure he will confirm the 9th Cannoneers.
All right, roll for persuasion.
It's not deception.
Or do you want deception? Yeah, let's go deception, then you called it.
That's a 21.
I rolled a 19. 21 wins. She just kind of straightens up. Oh, the authorities. Yes, right away. Absolutely. Yes, we can. Yes, absolutely. Anything else you need from us?
That would be all.
Very well. Please, feel free to roam about the city. You mentioned something about the authorities. Do you need to talk to anyone or anyone in particular I can guide you to?
I'm looking at you at this point. You've been holding the conversation.
I mean, I would ask the woman, I guess, we just talked to.
Yes.
Who's the best information dealer in town?
Oh, the best information dealer. That really depends on the information you're looking for, quite honestly. A good place to start would probably be the Beach Leviathan. I don't know if you know too much about Neverwinter, but one thing we always boast about is how quickly we've been booming and recovering from the previous invasion over the past years. And so anybody who has the will to work can make something of themselves here.
Well, I'm going to suggest we go have a drink and see what the locals can offer us.
Yes, why not?
Yeah, but please, let's avoid too crowded places.
It's okay, I'll hold your hand.
Oh, thank
you.
You're
out of luck.
Offer my tiny, tiny little hand to Mervich.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Funded hand, please.
I'll slap you on the back and say, nothing wrong with some company. Let's go.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, so everyone's headed to the tavern.
Mm-hmm. I guess to the Beach Leviathan?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
So everybody walks in. Let's see, again, Sai, you haven't been here before. You know that it's owned and operated by Harag and his wife, Andrella.
Mm-hmm.
Two humans. Harag is a fat ex-pirate who claims fierce independence, but is widely known to be an informant for Neverember. Andrella is prim and proper and keeps a tight ship.
Do I spot them when we come in, or do I know what they look like?
Yes, you do. You've visited the Beach Leviathan quite frequently in previous occasions. Mm-hmm. You do note that there are several trophies decorating the entire walls, including a Sahuagin skull and a carapace of a giant crab. And yeah, you spot them right away.
Are we on friendly terms since last time, or did I do something stupid?
Good question. Roll a d20.
Oh, shit. It's my natural one locked on. Oh, shit. That's a 9.
A 9? I would say that you skipped out on your bar tab last time.
Right. I am going to attempt to hide behind some of my slightly taller allies.
Okay. So doing so, you find one of the tables off to the side that's away from the bar, away from their direct line of sight.
Cool. I am tiny, so I'm sure my hiding abilities are great.
I'll head to the bar and get a drink.
Okay. Harag turns around. Hey.
Oh, one of your ales, please.
He just sizes you up and down fairly quickly, turns around.
More down than up.
Turns around, throws the tankard in front of you, a little bit spills out, 2 copper.
I hand him the 2 copper, wow. And then I quaff it like a decent dwarf would.
All right.
And then as I'm drinking, I'm looking over the walls and see the Swahargan skull, because I can never pronounce that name. We encountered a few of them recently. Have you seen any about Everwinter?
Well, we haven't seen any of these clowns right here in years. This one was actually fished out from somewhere out west.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. They put up a good fight the last time we saw them. I was looking for another one of those.
If you sail west, you'll probably find quite a few.
I just nod and head back to the table then.
Okay, friends. Why didn't you bring ale for everybody?
Does it look like I'm made of copper?
Somebody else buys the round, I'll pay for it.
I roll my eyes and go back to the bar and buy a round.
I start fishing out the money to give him when he comes back.
I throw him two wood pieces.
I just push all your money back towards you, just set the ales back on the table in front of you.
All right, so while this is all going on, y'all do see a couple of guards hanging about, and at this point they're just having a good time. You can tell that they are getting rowdier and rowdier, and by the look of it you can tell that they're fairly new recruits.
Can we hear what they're talking about?
Yes, let's see. They are talking about the mayor of Neverwinter. Mm. They just go on and on about how great they have it here compared to some of the other locations, how hard they had to work at Baldur's Gate, and this is a much better detail to be here, just with all the availability that everybody has. And you can see that there are rumors, though, that they've heard from drunks and everything about a possible fishing boat attacks, but everyone's disputed, like, it's impossible. We haven't seen any of those around here in years. There's no way.
Oh my, this sounds like we have to join some sort of fisher boat.
Is it perhaps worth asking if there's been anything strange happening in the city other than fishermen attacks?
Worth a go?
Should I put my charm on them?
Well, it's probably better than me punching them in the head.
Well, this will come later when they find out.
Find out what?
No punching yet, okay, guys? No punching yet.
I look sullen. Drink my ale.
I slide in the rest of mine.
I nod and finish it.
Okay, so are we punching or what are we doing?
No.
I'm going to the guards. Orion is going to the guards. Well, dear friends, we couldn't help but overhear the rumors about those mad fish people who are sinking fisher boats out west. Can you tell us more about that?
You seem like you can handle yourself. Absolutely. If you're thinking about what I'm thinking, you're thinking about go heading out there to sea. Sure, go right ahead. No biggie. They're claiming that there's some fish people possibly trying to scout, the area. At least that's what it sounded like to me. But anyway, what we're hearing is that those Sahuagin are starting to attack some of the fishing boats, and more than likely it's probably just, old guys getting drunk out there thinking they're, seeing a Sahuagin. They're actually probably seeing a little giant squid action. I'm not sure what it is. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
No, I can assure you there's an army coming to destroy Neverwinter. They would burn it to the ground, and it's up to you to save the city. And how can you save the city? Exactly. You have to help us.
I think that's a persuasion check.
Oh, god damn it. It was not very convincing. It's only an 8. Roll a 2.
Okay, see what I got over here. So both of them are listening to you talk, and they're both taking swigs from their tankards. All of a sudden, they both spell choking. What? Come on, you must come with me. We got to go talk to Lord Neverwinter right now. They rolled a 1. You convinced them.
I'm looking to my friends on the other table, and I'm putting up 2 thumbs.
Oh, I can't believe that worked.
Got him.
Lucky.
Got him.
Okay. So, again, for the sake of time, you go in front of Lord Neverwinter, and he is so moved by your news. So he decides to give you 6 guards and 2 veterans from the Neverwinter Watch to help deal with the invasion. So now you have a small crew with y'all as well.
I immediately dump them all.
So he does ask you, real quick, when is this invasion supposed to occur?
I shrug.
We have to assess the enemy forces. The army is growing by the minute. You can't really tell.
Could be days, could be weeks, could be hours.
It could be happening right now. Pause for dramatic effect.
I'll put that in the editing too, watch, dude. Okay, and so everybody roll a perception check.
Wow, that's a 1. Jesus Christ.
20.
Not 20. Everyone else?
I have a 20 here.
Let's see. I got a 17 plus 2.
Okay.
So 19.
All right.
Oh, shit.
What was it?
That was the attack. Everyone get ready.
It's just my dice. I have a lot. Just automatically sorting them in colors, because that's what I do.
I'm right there with you. Okay, so we'll say this. The following night, sun starts going down. Everyone sees... who was the one with the one?
That was me, the Amazing Orion.
Amazing Orion. So everyone is looking out at sea. You see a thick sea mist start rolling over in front of the ocean, and it slowly makes its way into the docks and the coastal wards of the city. The unusual hustle and bustle of the city seems subdued by the pressing damp. Looking out to sea, you think you can catch a glimpse of an ethereal blue light, perhaps the moonlight playing off a larger wave, and then Amazing Orion. You look down. Ooh, gold! You see a little gold coin on there. Everybody else. Everybody else, you see an enormous spectral galleon emerging from the mists, cutting through the waves like a hot knife through butter. Standing proud atop the foredeck is a man with flesh as pale as death, dressed in a tricorn hat and wielding a midnight black blade.
Oh,
by the gods, I was right.
And everybody with a natural 20, you can tell that this is a ghost ship. And you see a crew of what you can see right now is about 10 animated zombies. By the look of the cloth and the wear and the swords and just their outside appearance, you can tell it's from Neverdeath.
Lord Neverember, you weren't perhaps expecting a ghost ship from Neverdeath, were you?
Looks over the docket. No, nothing in the books.
Then I believe we're under attack.
Yeah, it seems so.
What are you talking about?
That way, mate, out over the dock.
Holy moly!
All right.
Right, well, these guards and veterans, I suppose you're about to be tested.
Yes, okay. To arms, my men.
All right, you see cannons start getting loaded up, and at this point, all of y'all are leading separate cannons. What do y'all want to do?
By any chance, could I fit in one of these cannons, do you think?
Oh my god.
Roll for acrobatics.
That is a 16.
With a 16, yes, you can fit inside one of the cannons.
Somebody light me.
Wait.
I need to cast Bless first on him. Can I please?
Okay, good.
Please. This is happening. I'm like wedging myself into the end of the cannon. Right, somebody light me.
After Sai casts Bless on our friend, I give him one of the alchemist's fires into his hands.
I mean, do you think you should be putting this in a cannon that's about to explode?
You have to believe in yourself, my friend.
Well, no problems there.
All right.
Light the cannons.
All right, so who's going to fire the cannon?
If nobody else does it, the Amazing Orion steps forward and...
Right, point me at that fellow with the big hat.
Yes, he aims the cannon directly at the captain.
Okay, this is happening. Wow. All right.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
All right, you light the fuse and...
Gabriel, my friend.
I rage right as he lights it.
Okay, Amazing Orion, I'm going to allow you to roll this attack.
Yes, I hope it's dexterity.
You know what? And I'll also do it at advantage because you are special forces.
Oof, good. Oh my god, I rolled a 5 and a 6. Oh my god.
No.
Okay, but what do I add?
Let's say because everyone is proficient in cannoneering, we'll add 10 to that.
Okay. Well, okay, then it's a 16. That's not bad.
Wait, I can bless up to 3 creatures, so I suppose I could bless 3 of us?
You absolutely can.
Yeah, so you can add another d4.
All right, I will do that.
Do an attack roll.
Come here. Yes, that's a 4 extra.
And with a 20. Is it Frostaff who's in the cannon, right?
Oh, Frostraff, yeah, Frostraff.
Frostraff. All right, Frostraff.
Wings of Destiny.
And Enrique Iglesias' hero starts playing very through the thing, and you start moving slowly in bullet time.
Be your hero, baby. Oh, no, what actually starts playing is It's Raining Man.
So describe to me the action of you going directly to this this pirate.
Oh, I think there's a lot of yelling.
from me.
And from me. Would I have a chance to pull out my weapon, or am I just hitting him?
I'll leave it to you.
I would like to pull out my great axe.
Mm-hmm.
And as I, you know, if we've like aimed it directly at him and I'm heading directly for him, I just want to, like, you know, as I get close to him, hit him with the great axe.
Wow. See, I knew it was a good idea to have everybody do this. This is outstanding. All right, roll the attack.
Out of curiosity, who are you? Who would be your god of storms in this world? Or if you're using Forgotten Realms stuff?
Maybe?
Totally up to you. You know, again, this is more just for flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So I will let you create that. Who would be your god of thunder?
Yeah, we'll say Talos. He's the Faerunian one. So as I'm just screaming towards the air before I pull out the great axe, and Talos, guide my blade! And that is a 17 plus 9.
Ooh,
awesome.
That would be a 26 to hit.
That is going to hit. Yeah, hit hard.
I should point out that my rare item you allowed us to pick is a great axe plus 2.
Yeah, you left that part out, but that's all right.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to assume I'm rolling damage.
Yes.
Okay. So that is an 8 on the dice, plus 6 is 14, plus 2 for raging is 16 damage.
16. Wow. And let me see. Tell me more about your weapon. Is it made of silver, you'd say?
No. It's just a plus 2 weapon.
Okay. So a little bit of silver on that, right?
I mean, if you want there to be silver on that, yes. Yes, there is.
I mean, it's definitely magic if there's a bonus on it.
Yeah, if it's a plus 2 weapon, it counts as a magic weapon.
All right. Excellent. And... okay, so that's the first round of action. I guess everybody, let's roll for initiative.
All right. May I ask, Nice, how far away are we from the enemy?
Yeah.
At this point, you're probably about 300 feet away.
Oh, dear.
All right.
Whoops.
Okay. I, the amazing Orion, have an initiative of 19.
Sai has an initiative of 18.
Evie shares a 9.
And Thrustrath has a 12.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah, so what we'll do, we'll keep the same roll for the rest of the adventure here, mm-hmm. just to make it a little easier.
Okay.
And our pirate friend rolled an 18.
Oh, dear.
Fuck. Okay, and so Frostraff is on his face right now.
Oh, no. Oh, Frostraff. Okay.
It's not me.
Yeah.
It's good. That's good. So the shot is clear, basically.
Yes. Okay, and so first up is going to be the amazing Orion.
Awesome. Okay, so first of all, I am using my bonus action to dash, which means I'm now at 240 feet, I assume?
Yes.
All right. And then I'm taking a shot with my short bow with disadvantage at this range.
I would say it's at advantage with special ops.
So normal roll?
Yes, with advantage.
All right, just roll that.
Yeah.
Okay, would a 15 hit?
15, yes.
Awesome. Okay, so I'm putting an arrow on the short bow and I'm screaming, "Melf's acid arrow!" And I'm shooting one of my acid arrows.
All right, and describe that for us.
Yes, I mean it's a normal arrow with a little acid pouch on top. And it hits the pirate, the ghost pirate in the chest, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And the acid splashes. Oh, right. Oh, my God. And then I can roll sneak attack damage because our dwarf friend is within 5 feet of it.
Yes.
Oh, my God. This is awesome. Okay, come here, baby. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's 19. That's 19 piercing damage and 3 acid damage.
Wow.
But it's not a magic weapon.
Okay, that's fine. And you hit him. And you see his tricorn hat begin to fizzle and slizzle. All right, next up is Sai.
I can't really do much without getting a lot closer. So I will probably just hold my action until I see someone need any curing of any wounds of any kind. But I'll try and keep up with the rest of the group with my 30 feet of movement. So if people are moving forwards, then I'll follow them.
Okay.
I don't have any spells that can go further than like 60 feet. So yeah.
Got it. Okay. Very cool. So next up is Captain Bartholomew Black Dagger.
Come at me, you ghost bitch.
So this guy, his pale skin, just you see it crackling, you know, just from all the wear and tear, just all the wrinkles he's had, he has there. and his white beard just pierces through the night, and he just smiles at you, and he holds his turn.
What?
Next up is Frostref.
I raise an eyebrow at him. I'm going to use my bonus action to go into a frenzy, which doesn't have any effect this turn, but it does mean that on my next turn, I can take a bonus action to attack. I'm also going to try and hit him twice with my great axe, since I have two attacks per turn. Well, it was one natural 20, which is good, and the other is a 14, which I don't think hits. Does it?
Hold on, I'm looking. That does hit.
I also can't count 15, because it was a 6 plus 9 is 15. So
15 hits.
Yes, yeah. Excellent. So that is 3d12. 11 plus 12 is 23. because I critted, so 23 plus 5 is 28, plus 12 is 40.
40 to hit.
Oh, plus I'm raging, so another... No, that was 40 damage.
Oh,
plus...
Yes, yes.
Plus the extra 4 from my rage, so 44 damage.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
So he smiles at me, and I grin back at him. I heft my axe, and then lay into him twice with it.
Excellent.
And how does it look? Is the axe passing through it? Is it like a ghost or...
It's connecting with
something.
It's connecting with him. It's gashing him, just ripping him right open.
Yay.
At least we're doing some damage.
Yeah. What's your passive perception, Frostref?
It is a 10.
All right. With a 10, you notice that there is no blood on your axe.
He looks a little upset about that.
Aww.
Okay.
That's my turn.
All right. Let's see. Next up is Mervish.
Oh, well, I look at the others and I say, who wants to ride? And then I wild shape in a riding horse.
Oh, nice.
So we need to get close up.
All right. And that's instantaneous, right?
But then I just wait for someone to come on me.
Okay, as a free action, anybody want to get on board?
Yes, please. I might need help getting up. I am tiny.
Oh, well. I can try to help you. I don't know how a horse can.
Oh no! Wait, I've got my boots of leaping or whatever it was. I had decided.
Nice.
To. So I can actually jump up. Excellent. Yeah, striding and springing.
Okay, so all
just like three somersaults.
Yeah, I can jump 3 times the normal distance.
And then we hear Enrique Iglesias' Hero playing.
Oh yeah. It's our group theme song, all right? We all know it by heart.
Well, then I will use all my movement to get as closer as I can. And my speed is now 60 feet.
60 feet? Okay, excellent. Bartholomew Black Dagger is his pirate's name. And he steps back, and Frostref looks right at you. And he points down at your feet.
I look at my feet.
And you see...
They are gone.
And you see the only thing holding you up right now are a couple of skeletons. And so they move their hands, and you fall directly into the ocean.
Splash.
Right through the entire ship.
Ooh.
Great. Hey, it's going to think I'm a barbarian and not wearing any armor.
Okay, that's the end of that turn. Next up is the Amazing Orion.
Okay, so how does this look? The ship is like ghostly, like
very
green,
much ghost.
Faintly. Okay, and there's the deck is made of skeletons.
No, the everything is ghostly, okay. Including the deck. Sai, roll me a religion check.
See, religion. That is an 18.
With an 18, you can tell that while the ghost ship is there, you do realize that only the undead can actually touch down on the decks.
Oh, so we're going to try and fight a ship we can't actually step onto.
Right, and the only reason Frostref was able to stay on for a short time was because the skeletons were holding him up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, this won't stop the Amazing Orion. As I dash forward 60 feet again to 180 now, and put in fire arrow on my bow, and I shout,
Firebolt!
And I shoot again.
All right.
Oh my god, I'm rolling like shit. It's a 9.
19? I'm sorry, your audio is cutting out.
No.
I heard a 19. 19?
It's a 9.
I hear 19 from my end. It's
9. Oh, okay, saying 19, yes.
I think it's the you know, the U.S., I'm not sure what it is, or taxes.
I heard 19. Okay.
Yeah, all those tariffs, you know, that somebody's been putting on over here.
So you're saying I should roll damage?
Yes.
All right, let's see here. Okay, no sneaky action this time. So that would be 6 piercing and 4 fire damage.
A total of 10. Okay, and who did you aim for? Did you aim for the captain?
Of course.
All right.
Black Dagger.
And Black Dagger is now on fire. And let's see, Sai, you're next.
How close am I now that I'm getting a ride with someone else? Can I...
You see, you move 60 feet,
yeah.
And we'll say the pirate ship was moving another 60 feet as well.
Okay, so they're getting closer.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any water between us?
There's all kinds of water between y'all. But I'm assuming that you're riding on either side of the fortification, kind of like there's a bridge there. You're riding on either side of it, trying to get closer around the bay.
Mm-mm. I'm just trying to think what I could do, because I don't have many ranged things that will hit yet.
So let's say for the sake of story, let's cut it down. Otherwise, we're going to be engaged in this back and forth for a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll say everybody is about, we'll say 60 feet.
Okay.
And also that would put Frostdraft, let's say you're about 20 feet away from the ship as it passes beyond you, and you're another 20 feet away from land, from where the harbor is. Yeah.
Right, cool. In that case, if I'm 6 feet, I will try to cast Sacred Flame.
Okay.
So it's, 60 feet, instantaneous. And you have to roll a dex 13 for a save.
And it got a natural 20.
Oh. Well, that went wide. Shit.
The Sacred Flame heads right for his head, and he takes his cutlass and just rips it apart.
I sigh dramatically and just go, no.
And now, actually, now that he's a lot closer, you do see a white and a sword wraith warrior standing alongside him on the deck. And behind them, you see an additional 40 skeletons begin to emerge.
Oh.
What are these cannons doing?
Cannons are doing absolutely nothing. They're just passing right through everything.
God damn it.
Right.
Whose turn is it?
It was mine, but I've done my turn, I think. I don't.
Okay.
Yep. It's horse, I think.
Okay. And let's see, Black Dagger's turn real quick. You see that slat, that big gash that was in his torso just close right on up as he recovers 10 hit points.
Oh.
And he keeps moving on. The ship is now 30 more feet beyond that, or actually, we'll say that it's coming up right in the first line of defense, the first wall, and now it passes right through the wall, and it keeps going further into Neverwinter.
Ooh.
Well.
There's actually this little river that cuts in between Neverwinter, separating the north from the south, and it's on that river, and it just keeps going.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so then at this point, it's utter chaos. You now see a bunch of those skeletons jump off of the ship, and they start hurrying along everywhere around the city. They begin attacking people. They begin attacking establishments. They start going anywhere and everywhere they can find and just start looting the place. And even the Beats Leviathan is being ransacked as well. You see them start to attack it as well. And there you see a lot of people. In one hand, they have their tankards swilling away at their ales and their grogs. And with the other hand, they got their cutlasses and scimitars, and they're fighting them off back and forth. Next up is Frostdraft. What do y'all want to do?
I swim to shore.
And when you swim to shore, you're right there with Mervish inside.
You sort of hear this like splashing and squelching and bloody drop me through the bloody shit. Right, where's the bastard?
I point him in the direction of the skeletons.
Right. And I would start marching off, but I use my entire movement speed to get back to shore.
Go ahead and take another bonus action.
How far away are they?
We'll say they're about 30 feet away.
I throw a javelin, just picking one at random. That's another natural 20.
Wow.
Right.
I mean, saying that, javelin doesn't do a lot of damage. It's 3, 1 is 4, plus 4 is 8 damage total.
8 damage. Well, on this podcast, we usually roll double damage with a natural 20.
Oh, I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. It's 1d6 normally. I rolled a 3 and a 1, plus 4 is 8.
Oh, solid. Okay. Solid 8. I like that. So with that 8, The javelin impales the skeleton, and you see it's about to slash the head off of this little tiny child that's in its way. It's bringing down its sword on the kid, and you got it just in the nick of time with a natural 20. And with that javelin, it sticks right through him, through his rib cage. You actually have it pinned up against the wall. And the kid just gives you a little... Just a little wave of the head. Thank you so much. And it bolts out of there. And let's see. Hold on. Okay. I will say... Frostdraft, roll me a perception check.
Okay. Perception, that is 17 plus... my wisdom is plus 0, so 17.
Okay. With that 17, you can tell that the kid just robbed the beast Leviathan. It's running off with gold and silver. And strangely enough, as it runs away, it also has like a... He looked panicked and just grabbed whatever he could as he was running out of there. So from him taking off, a little parchment slips out and lands on the floor in front of you.
First of all, I nod approvingly at the child looting, and then I pick up the piece of paper.
And you see that it's a size tab.
Okay.
I look sidelong at you and then eat the paper.
I smile very sweetly and whisper thank you.
Right. Let's all right. Take care of these ghost bastards.
Mervish, you have the floor.
Okay, so all skeletons, are there in a group together, one next to the other?
A couple of them are, yeah.
Okay, so I will cast the moonbeam.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, that's gonna hurt.
I need a constitution saving throw.
Okay, I'll say there's four of them together.
Is 15.
15. Oof. I got a very hefty 4, 7, 5, and 14.
Great. So you get all the damage. That is 2d10. This 10.
2.
16.
16?
16 for all of them, yeah. But what I didn't say is that I used my bonus action to go back in my humanoid shape, and then okay. I casted the spell.
Okay.
I fall to the ground.
Yeah. My point.
I believe Moonbeam is also radiant damage, if this helps anything.
Also, Moonbeam has some effect on shape changer. So it says that if there is a shape changer, the saving throw is with a disadvantage. I don't know, but anyhow, there's not a problem.
So. Okay, yeah, this is all skeletons. So there are four skeletons. Again, you see them, they're about to attack. The two guards that y'all talked to at the tavern, actually, because they have them all circled. So the four of
Bob and Tracy.
So they're about to get slaughtered when, in the midst of this dense fog that crept up into town, the fog splits apart, and you look up, and the cloudy skies split in this ginormous beam of the moon is just beaming down perfectly as all four of the skeletons look up in time, and you say, "Oh shit, not again!" And they all explode from your moonbeam.
Yahee!
It's skeleton for dinner.
I'm not very nutritious.
You all have right. to suck the marrow.
Oh.
That's hardcore, man. That's like heavy metal hardcore.
Yep.
All right, at the end of this round, y'all see the ship move along, and you see Castle Never. The guards immediately start going back there and try to fortify everything they possibly could, thinking that the ship is heading right for Castle Never, but it doesn't. And it continues on, passing past it further deeper the river. And you see this one building, Sai, you immediately recognize that it's not just a building, it's actually a temple to Agama. And it's down very nice and neat and very beautifully done. And it begins to slow down right before its entrance. But you also note, everyone notes that the ship is not leaving the water either. Okay. What do y'all want to do?
How far away is the ship now from us?
We'll say it's 30 feet away.
Right, okay. Is it my turn or...?
It is Amazing Orion's turn.
Okay.
All right. Could I get into 20 feet range with the pirate captain?
With the pirate captain, yes.
Okay. Then I'm running there and I'm screaming, "Fireball!" And I'm throwing an alchemist's fire at him.
Wow. All right.
This little baby fireball explodes. No, I have to make a ranged attack. Okay, ranged attack coming in.
Oh my god.
That's a 5.
All right, I'll say this. You completely miss the captain.
Yeah.
And the only reason you missed the captain, though, is because one of his mates, the white, that's W-I-G-H-T,
yeah,
dives in front of your attack.
What a hero.
As we hear Enrique Iglesias playing. In slow motion. Right.
Okay, well, then it... yeah,
roll damage.
It takes one, it takes 1d4 damage, fire damage, on the start of each of its turns, and it can use an action and make a DC 10 dexterity check to extinguish the flames.
Otherwise, it takes another
1d4.
1d4 yeah. Damage. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So it's burning, essentially.
Yeah, perfect, perfect. As any good first mate or second mate would do.
Yeah.
Okay, Sai, you have the floor.
Excellent. I'll cast Spiritual Weapon at second level. So, and it will take the shape of a giant brandy bottle. and then I will try to hit the ghost captain with it.
Okay.
So,
do I roll a wisdom save or is it?
No, I roll to see if I hit with it. So let's figure out how to do this one.
I believe it's your spell attack modifier.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm trying to. Where is that again?
It's your proficiency modifier plus your spell casting ability, which would be wisdom. So proficiency plus wisdom.
Oh, there we go. So that is a 15 to hit.
15 does hit.
Oh, excellent. Right. So then that is a 1d8 plus 2. So 7, 8, 9 points of damage. Not sure that did much, but you know.
It's enough to get him scared. He realizes that, well, wait a minute, that one kind of hurt. And he immediately rushes the door to the temple, the House of Knowledge.
So the captain jumped off the ship?
Yes, and along with him, so did his two mates. And again, the 35 skeletons are now starting to reconvene over by him, where he is. Next is Frostref.
I'm going to, as I said, I was going to start running towards the captain again. I'm assuming I'm going to run into some of the skeletons first.
Yes.
Cool. I get two attacks per round, plus I can take my bonus action to attack because I'm frenzied now. So that is a 13 plus 9, a 14 plus 9, and another 13 plus 9. I'm going to assume those three hit.
Yes.
Okay, so first attack is then 7 plus 8, 15 damage. Second attack is 13 damage, and I'm aiming at each of these at different skeletons in the hopes that just one attack takes them down. And the last is another 13 damage.
Okay, you're using which weapon again?
My magic great axe, my plus 2 great axe.
Okay, and would you say you're swinging everything wildly trying to get to the captain?
Yes.
Okay. Doing so, you annihilate 6 skeletons as you open up a hole between your party and the captain.
As I'm just like cutting my way through them.
A barbarian.
Matter of fact, you swing the axe one way, you swing it back the other way, and you come back the third time. And as you come back the third time, you actually catch a femur in your mouth.
Oh, Jesus. Spit it out. Get out of my way, you skinless bastards. Come on.
Oh, I find this humorous.
And Mervish, you have the floor.
Yeah, so I will use my action to move the moonbeam, and it can move up to 60 feet. So does it reach the captain?
Almost to the captain.
Okay, so if it doesn't reach him, the closest skeletons that I can find are going to be in my beam. So they have to make a constitution saving throw.
Okay.
15 is the DC.
Okay. Man, it's always the quiet ones that do the most damage. All right. Let's see, one got a 4, 13, the 19, and the 20.
Okay, so the 19 and the 20 are going to take off of the damage. For the other, the damage is 12.
Okay.
Then I use my movement to get closer to them.
Okay, hold on. Before you do that, those were the skeletons that were in the path of the moonbeam as you were moving it. So now when you get it close to the captain, that is 11, 12, and 12. Now those are where the moon ray stops.
Okay.
So that's even more skeletons that you just annihilated.
Okay, so I think that it's the same. I don't have to do another throw.
No.
Okay. So what I can do. Well, it's okay. I finish my turn. I just say, okay, let's make this place less crowded.
Effective.
All right. Tell you what, I need a refill real quick. I will be right back.
Yep.
Hey everyone, this is Dungeon Meister Paul, also known as Stunt Monkey Z on Twitter, with your beer break. I just gotta replenish my frosty beverage before I get back to DMing this wonderful adventure with this amazing crew. In the meantime, I wanted to brag about some of our sponsors. Common Ground Games, the number one D&D place in Dallas. They've got D&D games running almost every night of the week. If you live in the Big D area and want to sign up to play, check out their main Facebook page for more information at Common Ground Game Store and their website, BoardGamesDallas.com. Common Ground Games, because we all have the same common ground of playing games. Dungeon Painter Studio. It's a powerful map design tool that comes with a lot of features to help you create your very own world maps. Remember that you can even try the online version for free before you buy their highly affordable full version. Dungeon Painter Studio is available for purchase on Steam. And remember to be sure to give JVC Perry a follow after you go and buy Call from the Deep at DM's Guild, which is the adventure that we're playing right now. It's a gold bestseller and is currently sitting at number 14 in the most popular DM's Guild titles. And I also want to talk about the cast of the Ninth Cannoneers. First, we have Andrea Mafia at Adventurer881. He's part of a creative team that makes RPG content in both English and Italian. We had a chance to play The Mage's Tower on our show in Season 1. Check it out and check out Andrea Mafia's other works. His material is available at DM's Guild. Jordan Carmichael from Modified Role, a mostly UK-based D&D 5e podcast, focusing on collaborative storytelling in an open world. Check them out and support their podcast, too. Andrea Coffey at Caffeinated Story. Coffee is a professional cleric in the field of medicine and dives into cosplay in her off time. She's also a well-traveled individual, which you can read about and follow along in her link tree. Christian Eichhorn, at Squirrel Golem. We've played through a few of Christian Eichhorn's adventures in Season 1, of Conks and Cons, the Tower Golem, and the Cage. He has tons more content at DM's Guild. Definitely go and give his content a view. Alright, and for the next episode, we're going to go back into the Call from the Deep and follow up with the Part 2 to the Ninth Cannoneers. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcast ear candy. Follow us on Twitter, leave us a review, and tell your friends about us. We're trying to grow our brand a little bit and need your help to do that. Well, that's about all I got for my beer break. Time to get back to the crazy action going on with these guys. Catch you next time. All right, and so we are going into the pirate's turn. Seeing as how they're being decimated right away, the pirate, along with his two mates, break through the door easily and run inside the building as the rest of the skeletons try to fortify their positions. Which, quite honestly, I guess at this point, there's, what, not that many left.
Moonbeam will do that to you.
Yeah. And then some. And so y'all see them run in, and now you have about 20 skeletons between you and the door.
Okay.
Top of the order is the amazing Orion.
Yeah.
Good. Is there one of the important undead in melee range, like the first or the second mate or the captain, or are they all inside of the temple now?
They're all inside of the temple now.
Okay, so then I will just shoot a random skeleton, which is within 5 feet of Frostruff.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that would be a 17 to hit.
That hits.
And with fire arrow, that's 13 damage on a random skeleton.
And that random skeleton is turned into ash.
You have to break through the door fast.
You know what? And I'll say they're in close proximity. You take out two skeletons in that way from the fire damage. Next up is going to be Sai.
Right. Can I move my spiritual weapon closer and also move closer myself?
Yes and yes.
Right. Can I get inside where the captain ran in? Or am I too far away for that?
You can't get in because there's several skeletons obscuring.
Right. Okay. In that case, I will just give them a whack with my spiritual weapon.
Okay. Now, you do have a standard weapon as well, right? You can use it as well. So
yeah,
one's a bonus action, the other one's a regular attack.
Right, okay. So I'll go first with my mace.
Okay.
Well, let's see if I can... That's not going to hit, because that's a 6.
16. And the audio stinks here. Is that a 16?
Right. Okay, let's see. That is a 1d6. Ooh, 1 point of damage. Go me! but I can hit with my spiritual weapon.
Yes, you can.
Let's see if that does more damage. Let's see. That's 18 to hit.
Yes, that hits hardcore.
Actually hit with that. Yes. And that is 8 points of damage. Woo!
All right, with that, the first hit with your standard weapon, you knocked its head clean off.
Yes!
And at that point, it's going to start reaching out to you. So then here comes your spiritual weapon and just finishes the job.
Yeah, finally. All right. How useful, you guys.
So you turn around, you give a thumbs up to everyone else.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, next up is Frostraff.
I'm going to continue hitting skeletons. I'm assuming there's not a path to the door yet. There's still more skeletons in the way.
That's correct.
Okay. So that is a... Ooh, the first two really bad rolls of the night. That is a...
Well,
11.
For you.
Well, yeah, well, it was a 2 and a 6. So that's an 11 and a 15.
And it's a miracle. They both hit.
Oh, good. And I have one more attack. So that one is a... It's more than a 15. So that's a 17. So okay. There's 3d12. 18 damage, 12 damage... and 16 damage with three great big axe strikes.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So, again, same thing as before. They're so close together that you swipe through multiple skeletons, and you're able to open up that hole for everyone to get in right away.
Excellent. So is there a route to the door now?
Yes.
I attempt to barrel through it.
And you do that. You hold... You got the entrance.
Do I see the captain inside with his friends, or have they like disappeared into the temple?
They've disappeared into the temple.
All right, I'm just stood in the doorway panting then.
I will say this, from your position, as soon as you're there by the threshold, you can hear screams within.
All right, well, I'll just use my full movement. I have 35 feet of movement, so I'll use whatever I have left just to move into the temple following that noise.
Okay, you do that, and you see them ducking into another doorway further on in this huge chapel area where you see multiple acolytes either on the floor holding their wounds or completely dead.
Ooh, I'll leave those to the cleric.
Medic!
Medic!
Working on it!
Alright, Mervish.
Okay, are still there some skeletons in front of the door?
A little bit, but by that point, Frostraff has kind of cleared the path. There are some more skeletons that would just as easily move back into position.
Okay, so I can also try to get in?
Yes.
Okay, so I use all my movement and maybe also a dash action. And then I will use my bonus action to cast Shield Lag. So let's get ready.
So would you say as you're moving to dash, would you be in a fair position to grab Sai by the back of her collar to drag her in?
Oh, well, my movement is 30 feet, so I don't know.
Because Sai was right there near the door, too, is that right?
Well, I was as close as I could get, so
yes,
probably.
Yes, so yes, you would be.
I'm like a little hitchhiker for everyone. It's like, pick me up! let me at them!
Yeah, right. All right, let's do it.
Okay, so what do I have close to me?
As you're running through there's going to be skeletons on either side of you.
Okay, so let's try to hit the skeleton. So, let's roll.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not a very good roll. It's an 8 plus 7, so it's 15.
That's a damn good hit. That hits.
Okay, and so the damage is 5 plus 1, so it's 6 damage with my club.
Whoa, okay, with your club, you actually crimp its hips and it falls to the ground. Still alive, but it's now got a dislocated hip.
You need a hip replacement.
Well, not in this case, please.
All right. So then with that, it'll be the top of the order. See, we have the amazing Orion. You have a clear path in front of you.
All right. I hear voice.
It's ritual casting.
Okay, so I'm using the bonus action to disengage, basically, so the skeletons can't attack me while I'm running through them. And can I just, for flavor, drop like 4 alchemist's fire, which explode while I'm strolling casually into the temple?
Okay, I will allow it if you roll a sleight of hand.
All right, that's good. I can do that. Oh my god, I'm rolling so shit. That's an 11. I rolled a 5.
Well, good, because their AC was crap, so yes, it works.
Okay, all right. And as I stroll in through the explosion, I say, let's clean up.
All right, and you make it through the door. And ooh. Next up is Sai.
Right, you said there were a lot of dead people on the floor?
Yes, inside the temple, yes.
Right. I've got the spare the dying cantrip, so can I just touch one or two of them and try to stable them as I go past?
I would say that because of your background and because of your current job, you know that you no longer have to touch. It's a lot more convenient for you to just point.
Right, okay, I'll do that then. So as I'm running past, I'll get as many as possible just to stabilize them.
It's like, you got spread the dying? You got spread the dying?
You guys, I'm everyone's helper here.
You get to live, and you get to live, and you get to live.
Absolutely. Come on, guys, I'm doing my one thing I'm supposed to be good at. But that's like one action for, so I don't think I can do much more except try and get closer.
Keep running.
I keep running just to catch up with the rest of my team and hopefully the undead hordes.
Well, okay. Oh, no. Mervis grabbed a hold of you as he was going in.
Okay. Someone's still ahead of me, aren't they?
The only one ahead of you would be Frostref, I think, at this point.
Me.
Right. I want to catch up with him at least.
Okay. You're seeing Frostref running through the chapel and the sanctuary. I'm assuming everyone else sees suit and everyone's following kind of in a straight line.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next up is going to be the captain. So, let's see real quick. Whoa, okay. That is not...
Dice.
That's all that happens. You hear more screams through that next door further on down. Frostraff, you are up.
I head to the door that the screams came from.
Okay, and it takes your entire movement to get through the threshold. So you notice right away, as soon as you cross the threshold, there's stairs that lead downwards. And it's common knowledge. A lot of times temples have upper vaults and lower vaults, and you can tell right away that this captain headed towards the lower vaults.
Mm-hmm.
From down in there, you see the different lower areas of the vaults. You make your way into an area of the vaults which clearly hasn't seen recent use. Everything is covered with a layer of dust, and the lamps which would illuminate the chambers are unlit. As you continue towards the lower vaults, you notice signs of disrepair, molding curtains, smashed lanterns, and the like. Finally, you discover what you've been... hold on. No, I can't say that.
What we've been what?
Yeah, so you hear a lot more screams and everything. You see a couple of small fires pepper the floor where the lanterns have fallen and spilled their burning oil. And what you see a elf priest being cornered by the three. And you see another creature that you're not sure exactly what it is. You also see a human priest as well. And they're about to get at both of them when the human priest then takes out the two mates. And the only thing now left is the captain and these two priests.
Right.
And so we open fire.
Ah, I see you've left him for me then.
And we'll stop there for now.
Oh, sounds good.
Yeah.
What the suspense.
So now y'all have to come back and play some more?
Yay.
Okay.
Oh no. Crisis. Awesome. How will we cope?
Thank you so much, everybody, for taking the time. I know everyone has busy schedules, and I really appreciate you.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for letting us play.
Thank you.
Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah. Like I said, it was my first podcast, and it seems like we'll meet again.
Yes, sounds like it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'd have curiosity on a scale of 1 to 100. What did you think was the likelihood of one of us firing ourselves at the ghost ship?
I realized a bit too late that I actually have ritual casting and I could have cast Water Walk on all of us, but it takes 10 minutes, so you know.
Well, I know about a good time for that.
Precisely, when I realized, I was like, fuck, that's 10 minutes we don't have, guys.
I was going to say, the cannon happened, so I was like, oh, okay, we're doing this. Let's do it.
The cannon was definitely the more fun option here.
Yeah.
I'm just amazed it worked.
I mean, I guess the gnome would also have fit, so let's put a pin in that for the next session.
Yeah. Hey, I am not climbing into any. You don't fire your only healer on a ghost ship.
Oh, this is
why not.
You fire the barbarian.
Yeah, precisely, which is what we did. It worked out beautiful. That's
what you need barbarians for.
Yeah. Cannonballs.
Well, again, thank you all so much for hanging out for a bit. I'll go ahead and let everyone get back to your lives, back to reality.
Go get ready for bed and early morning shift. Ooh.
Yay.
Okay, and see you around.
Absolutely.
Yes. Cool.
All right, have a good night.
Have a good night. Bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.